Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I have my guest today is Liz Calandrino, and Liz is going to be introducing and talking to a friend of hers, Bethany Gagne, and Bethany is going to talk about the Albany Peace Project. So, Liz, take it away.
Okay. Thank you, Cynthia. Good morning.
You're welcome.
How are you, Bethany?
Oh, good morning, Cynthia and Elizabeth. How are you today?
We're good. So, again, this is Bethany Gagne. She is the founder and director of Numinous, which is the sponsor of the Albany Peace Project. I don't know how many of you out there know about this. This is a very exciting program for Albany or for anywhere. So, Bethany, give us a little idea about your background, who you are, and where you're from, and all that stuff.
Sure. Well, I was born here in the Capital District and eventually became trained in something known as biofeedback. Biofeedback is the art and science of teaching people how to use their mind to positively influence the body. So, for instance, how to use their mind to lower their blood pressure or how to use their mind to abort a migraine headache. This idea that we all are more powerful than we've been told. We've all, that there's this way that we can manage our mind and body to bring the body into more healing spaces. And the more we practice that, the more we're able to reduce the kind of the side effects of the stress response, which over time can really cause a lot of wear and tear on our health, and move more into a restorative place and live our lives from there. And certainly in this day in the world, the stressors are everywhere and they're constant. And, you know, there's no more – it's so important that more and more people learn these skills because their lives are wearing them down with the level of stressors that they're carrying.
Now, this whole field of biofeedback, tell listeners a little bit about how that works, Bethany.
Sure. I often joke that biofeedback is essentially a meditation with accountability. Meaning that what happens is we have people practice how to go into certain internal spaces, but then biofeedback is different than just meditation because we kind of hook people up to instruments, and those instruments measure things from the body to help give the person feedback to make a different choice. So I've joked for years that we all know one, you know, just to demystify biofeedback, we all know one biofeedback device, and that would be a bathroom scale, right? You know, we step on the scale, it gives us feedback, and then we may or may not do something about it. Well, that's all essentially biofeedback is, except for the fact that we'll hook people up to something called, you know, that measures heart rate variability or galvanic skin response or, you know, muscle tension, so that when people get feedback from their own body, they can say, I guess my breathing is poor right now. Let me make it better. And unfortunately, we need this so desperately because today with so many screens and so much information coming at us from all different directions, we have lost an inner sense of being present within our own bodies, and our minds are often everywhere else, and what happens is the body ends up paying a big price for that.
Would you say that this is similar to a lie detector? They use the galvanic skin response to measure that too, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The GSR is part of a lie detector test. And the reason for that is because, I can't tell you how many people over the years, they'll look like the picture of peace. You know, they'll be telling me a story, and they look really calm. And then, you know, I have them hooked up to galvanic skin response. You know, every time they say one word, I'll hear a spike, you know. And you know, later on I ask them, well, tell me about that child or about your medication or something. And sure enough, you know, their body was charged every time they said that word because they were, they carried a lot of stress. So it's my belief that within the next 20 or 30 years that psychotherapy will not ever be just talk therapy alone, that mind-body will go together. Because the body, there's such fidelity between the mind and body and we, you know, so you could talk all day long in talk therapy, and you'll get somewhere. I'm not saying you won't, but it will be to have the extra information from the body and to be able to read that is extremely powerful, and helps people kind of move through defenses sooner, kind of thing.
Well, I think the part about, you know, somebody looks like, you know, they're peaceful. I think this is the scary part when we look at people's health. You know, people, they look fine and then they drop dead.
Right.
You know, you hear that story all the time. Oh, you know, he was in great shape, you know, like Jim Fix, the runner. And
right,
so
right.
I think that part is probably the most important for us to look at these days, particularly as we age. You know, like you said, people look good on the outside and we don't even realize. It's like, you know, you go into the doctor's office and you have your blood pressure taken and it's like high and you go, well, what's that? I feel okay. So could we say then, Bethany, that one of the real problems just in general of humans is that you really can't tell when you're really stressed out?
Well, unfortunately, in our culture, we don't. But eventually, the goal is to fire the biofeedback instrument and to be your own biofeedback instrument, that you don't need the instrument to tell you when you're so stressed, that you've internalized your own cues and can work from there. And the reason why we need this is just because we've become so externally focused that we've lost what it's like to feel inside our own bodies. And what always happens, the more people kind of travel inside their own body with their mind, is that they do find things that they didn't know were there. You know, I remember working with a chiropractor one time, and, you know, he noticed that when we went into these lower levels of arousal, he noticed he didn't have feedback from one leg, one thigh, compared to the other. Now, as a chiropractor, that was very interesting to him because, you know, that's what his line of work is. But he wouldn't have known that if he wasn't in those deeper spaces. So I often kind of make it similar to smoking, meaning that when we're just, you know, when people start smoking, their bodies are healthy enough to cough and to, you know, get really upset, you know, to cough and to respond to the noxious stimuli. Then over time, what happens is people can smoke and they look like they have absolutely no response to the cigarette. And then eventually, you know, the body wears down and something really horrible happens. But the idea is the fact that, you know, your body can internalize these things and then you really won't show symptoms until later on. But when you're trained in these internal spaces, you become cued to those things sooner. And I'm not going to say it's a, you know, perfect 100%, but absolutely, you know, I've seen things that when we become quieter and we go within, we become aware of our tensions. We become aware of things before they become more of a problem. So it's a very powerful. And then if you feel like your blood pressure is up, you can just turn around and start working on breathing. And, you know, many people have been able to come off their either off their blood pressure meds or lower them. There's 50 years of research on biofeedback regarding that, you know, mild to moderate blood pressure is helped through biofeedback. And I've certainly helped many people come off their meds. So, you know, and unfortunately, after 50 years, it's still not being prescribed. You know, still doctors are very quick to go right to that pill. And, you know, again, that's just a part of our society that it would behoove all of us to take a little bit more control back of our health and then, you know, so that we're not hooked to so many drugs by the time we're older.
Well, I want you to talk more about the Peace Project, but I want to go back to just a second to ask you a little bit more about this. There's, you know, there are some terms that you use, and I think that, you know, I do yoga. And, you know, people have this thing about yoga sometimes that, you know, what are we doing there? How can you sit there and think about nothing? And you talk about internal spaces. And maybe you could just talk a little bit more about how the body works internally, because I don't know where those internal spaces are, Bethany. I'm not sure how to find them or what it really means. And maybe in a way it's kind of scary for me. You know, what are they under? So maybe you could just talk a little bit about that.
Think about at the end of your yoga class where they have you sit in Savasana and how good it feels to just and the reason why it feels so good is because you've just exercised your body. You've tensed up some muscles, and then your body relaxes more. And so you are more likely to go into this beautiful space within you. And that is, everybody needs to know that there's a beautiful space within them. I can absolutely guarantee it. The problem is no one has taught us how to get there reliably and repeatably. And the space that researchers refer to it often is called coherence. There's a place inside of you called coherence that where you will feel good. Your brain waves are open, the alpha brain waves, the alpha bridge is open, and the body is relaxed, you're somewhat alert, and, you know, it's a sweet spot in your own nervous system. And it is this ability, we all have this ability, and unfortunately we have been so taught from our culture that, you know, the way to get to feel good is through drugs or through a pill or through smoking or through drinking or through anything. But really, our own nervous system is designed to feel good. There was a neuroscientist, Candace Pert, and she discovered the opiate receptor. And she said, we have opiate receptors throughout our entire body. Like, we were designed to feel good. The problem is that we actually work pretty hard to keep ourselves miserable through our negative self-talk, through our the stories that we tell ourselves about our lives. And, you know, so, but when you learn how to take your mind and say, anchor it in the heart, and just hold your mind in your heart, become aware of the heart, and then reach for a good feeling, a positive feeling of love or care or concern. I always say when I work with kids, I'm probably with consulting about 14 or 15 schools right now, I say, think about something that made you smile. Think about something that made you smile and bring to mind something that made you smile. And people automatically, their whole body starts shifting into a more positive, resilient space. And the more we can practice that, being in command of our mind, of what we allow ourselves to ruminate on, if we can be more in command of that, then we are more in command of our whole internal space, and our health gets better, our relationships get better, our happiness levels rise. I mean, it's not rocket science. It's all right there. Just no one taught us how to take this journey to inside the body. So that's what's come in. I mean, you're going to be seeing this. It's all over the media now. But it's there because it's real, and the science is demonstrating it works.
Liz, I have a question. You know, you were talking about people who have not found the inner peace. There's millions of people in this country that go to a doctor, and the doctor prescribes them, you know, a tranquilizer or a mood-altering drug or whatever. Do you think that those people in the medical profession kind of perpetuate the feeling that, okay, you're not well, here's a pill? In other words, instead of making them find the inner peace through meditation or exercise or working towards well-being, that they're hooked into the pharmaceutical conglomerate, and all they want to do is push pills.
Well, I think that's for a few reasons. One is, you know, I think one reason is my experience is no one taught us about this gorgeous place within. So just to be fair, a lot of the physicians and doctors, they haven't practiced these skills, and they don't know, you know. And they don't know. And it's like the best kept secret. It's right underneath our nose, literally, and no one taught us how to get there. So let's just say that. That being said, isn't it so much easier to write a script than, and faster, especially under managed care, to just write a script and to not, you know. And by the way, I can see some why they would do that as well, because I've been in this field for so long, and I know how many words it takes for me to convey these things. So that being said, yes, there's 50 years of medical documentation showing that these skills work. And they offer very real relief with no side effects. And, you know, so actually we're talking about bringing these skills into the community more, which is what the Albany Peace Project was designed to do. Because as a biofeedback person, I was very frustrated that we all have this nervous system and nobody taught us how to use it. And it's free. And we can use it at 3 a.m. when life is so horrible and you can't call anyone because it's the middle of the night, but there's this place inside of you that you can make the journey to find. And it always bothered me that we all had this ability, and it was sad to me that people didn't know it was there and couldn't get there. And so they're all more distraught than they need to be. So that's what the Albany Peace Project is designed to teach everyone how to become coherent and then change society through that. And this just, so we're working towards that in many different directions.
If you just joined us, we're talking with Bethany Gagné. She is the founder and director of Numinous, which is the sponsor of the Albany Peace Project. And Bethany's background is biofeedback. Bethany, tell us again, now let's talk about the Albany Peace Project, how it started. And, the other thing I was wondering, how does it line up with what's going on around the world? Because we're a little microcosm here, it sounds like to me.
Right. I can't think of a better time to do this work than what's going on around the world. So the Albany Peace Project is where we're inviting people to go in and find this coherent space. We do this by sending out meditations today in January. And so we send out these meditations, and people are trained to take their mind and go into their heart, become more coherent, move into that healing space I was talking about earlier, and then from that healing space, send peaceful intentions to the city of Albany. So almost, you could say, somewhat like a prayer. Now, the reason why it really started was because as a biofeedback person for 20 years, I watched the mind having impact in the body, that wherever the mind landed in the body, there was an impact. And so I've noticed, to me, intention, I know the mind has power because I've seen it. You can see it on biofeedback instruments. So this idea that wherever the mind landed, there was power and there was an impact in the body. Well, what if we took that same power and focused it outwardly? And I know that may sound kind of crazy, but if anyone's ever sat at a traffic light and then all of a sudden found your head turning and you realize that someone's been staring at you, I think it's 93% or 96% of people report that they know that they've been stared at, that the mind, when it's focused, has an impact. So what if we all took together, focused our minds on peace? Could we have a collective impact? And certainly that's what I'm working with State University of Albany professor Dr. Karen Reinhold. And we're not just making this stuff out of thin air. There are studies being done all over the world about our interconnectivity, about this idea that when a relatively small percentage of people meditate, find this coherent place within, there appears to be a calming effect on the greater population. So not only do people have that kind of benefit, but personally, people who participate become happier, their pain levels go down, they become more creative. All good things happen for the people who participate, as well as society in general. And the reason why it's a 10-year study is because we seems to be taking that long to get the people who are committed to doing this every day in January. We've already shown a little bit of a dip in the crime, but that's only because we've only had about 250 people doing it each day. We'd like to get 1,500 to 2,500. And so it's just going to be a matter of time. We have 3,200 Facebook likes at this time. There were about 1,450 people on our list. But as far as people clicking in every day, our numbers are pretty low. So this is definitely a call to anyone who wants to become happier, wants to feel empowered, wants to feel connected more to the city of Albany as far as praying for its peace, and we could certainly use that. The Albany Peace Project will be a wonderful free resource for anyone.
Well, I'm thinking about people like Victor Frankl, and we're looking at Joseph Pilate, people who spent time confined for one reason or another, and the way they were able to keep their minds in shape, was to do things like this. So we're really not talking about something that's really new. And
no.
I think if people start to think about those kinds of things that they've maybe read about, casually looked at, that there's a place for all of us. And I just want to share that how I found you, and people don't know that, but I was in my yoga class one day, and Sharon said, she mentioned the Albany Peace Project, and she sent me a link, and I think this was probably in early January, right, Bethany? And
yeah.
So I think they came in, the meditations would come in the morning, right? I think it was like 5:30, and I was up. So I would go in, and I would download the link, and there would be someone who would do a meditation, and there was also something to read, which was always just really very soothing and very nice. So I got to really like these 5:30 things going on. You know, people said to me, what are you doing at 5:30? And I said, oh, I have this wonderful thing. It's called the Peace Project. And through that, it has helped my focus in my yoga class. I mean, yoga, like you said, is, you mentioned Shavasana, and people may not know what that is. It's at the end of your yoga, you just lie there flat and you relax. And I found through the project that I seem to be much better at this, that I can go back into that space that, like many people, don't know they have that space inside, or it's kind of this hokey-pokey thing that they've heard about. You know what I'm saying? Who are these people that have
it? Right. They think it's hit or miss. When they're happy, they think it's hit or miss.
People?
No.
Yeah. Who are these people that have these spaces inside, and how can they get there? So
right.
Could you mention a little bit about the part about violence? And, you know, I'm looking yesterday, right, what happened during Chicago last night, right? And all
Tell you what's kind of really exciting about what we're doing in Albany, and that is that, you know, we've come up with a program called Mindfulness is a Solution to Violence, and the goal is to teach kids on the street some of these mindfulness practices along with alternative to violence practices. I'm working with a gentleman, Bernard Schumann, and we just now started, there's a possibility we might be collaborating now with Trinity. And the goal is to not just get kids not to be violent, because we think that if people are not violent, they're going to default to peace. But that's not what's happening. So this idea that we need to teach peace. We need to teach kids how to find the peace within through biofeedback, and then teach them cognitive skills on how to communicate to eliminate violence and to defer violence. And because what happens is when we're angry, when we're sad and upset, we're in the back of the brain. And when we're in the back of the brain, we're utilizing that part of the brain, we don't think clearly. And we can do stupid things that can change our whole lives. You know, kids can pull out a gun when they're in the back of the brain. If we teach them how to get to the front of the brain and to be clear and more lucid, automatically children become more kind, more empathic, smarter. Literally, their grades go up. And so this is very exciting that we might be, we're in dialogue about reaching the kids, especially in the South End, and taking them off the street for the weekend and feeding them and teaching them these skills. And so that we can start a wave of peace going through Albany, through the young people.
Now, you're doing a training program that I thought you might want to mention, training on meditation also.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we do. We have an Albany Peace Project Meditation Leader Program. What do we call it? Meditation Leader Program. And the idea is we're teaching people some of the basics. The protocol for the Albany Peace Project, there's a reason why we do the meditation we do. It's very designed to bring out this place in the nervous system. So we teach people about the protocol, how to move the body into coherence, and then teach them about the Albany Peace Project so they can feel comfortable bringing it into the community more themselves. They can bring it into their workplace. They can bring it into, you know, wherever, families and friends, and they can feel confident going forward. So, yes, and we're going to be starting one of those programs soon. I think we've had about 15 people go through the program, but there's like 20 people on the list right now. So 2017 should be a good year. And one other thing I just want to say, we are also in July doing an interfaith prayer research study for 1 week when the violence is the highest. And, boy, do we need getting the word out on that. It's going to be about the third week in July. We really need to reach the faith-based organizations, and so anyone who's willing to help with that, we would love that.
Oh, perfect. Now, you want to just tell everybody how they find you, Bethany. What's the best, you know, your websites and your Facebook and, you know.
Yeah, well, albanypeaceproject.com is the our main site right now, albanypeaceproject.com. And then there should be a box there to reach out to me. If not, there's numinousonline.com, numinousonline. Numinous is spelled N-U-M IONOUS, Numinous Online. So my contact information should be there, or you could do Bethany@numinousonline.com.
So you're going to start this program soon. Now, the people that do the meditations that we were getting, you know, via the internet, have those people been trained by you? Are they part of your program?
Yeah, some of them have, but you know what I love to do, and again, if anyone's interested, please reach out. I love to find people in the community that are using mindfulness in creative ways and just say, hey, come be a meditation leader. And as you know, that's what's fun about the Peace Project is every day when you wake up in January, you don't know who's going to be in front of you because, you know, I reach out for at least 25, 26 leaders in the area to help lead people. And so that's what's fun is you never know who you're going to see in the morning and learn from. And as you can know, you know, like there's some really gems in this area. And so a lot of connections have been made through the Albany Peace Project because, you know, they're able to see someone in the area that they didn't know was there. And a lot of connections have been made, and that's really sweet when I watch that.
Yeah, I would be thinking that this would be a wonderful thing to take into businesses.
Yes, right? That's been my dream, absolutely.
Yeah, and to, you know, to show up maybe, you know, like you said to me the other day, they have, you can take a break to go have a smoke. You can take a break to go have a cup of coffee, but can you go have a break to go put your head down or something?
Right, right. Yeah, you can have a cigarette break, a walk break, a coffee break, a candy bar break, but God forbid, you know, you close your eyes and become coherent and then become more productive. You know, like, God forbid you do that. That's considered crazy. But I have a dream. I have a dream that meditation will be considered absolutely a legitimate form of a break within the next 7 years, and that, you know, throughout the city of Albany will be known as a city of peace, and this idea of being coherent, that everybody would have heard about this idea of becoming coherent, and there will maybe even be places, meditation benches or something, where it's okay and people won't think you're weird to find this gorgeous place within that when you come out of, you will only be of greater service to humanity. I just don't see anything that, you know, the benefits, there's no amount of funding that could ever be raised that could do the amazing benefits that this work can do if it was just supported by the government or society, you know. There's no amount of money that could pay for the benefits of this.
Bethany, but what you're doing is universal. I mean, you could take this blueprint and share it across the country and around the world, right?
Well, yeah, actually I'm in dialogue with someone in Phoenix right now. They want to do the Phoenix Peace Project, and we're starting to collaborate there. And that was our plan because our another name we have going for us is the Global Peaceful Cities Project. So, yes, we want Albany to be the leader to inspire other cities to organize, and Phoenix seems to be the first one. And we'll see how that goes. So I'm excited. I'm working with an MD there, and he's looking to start to organizing in Phoenix. So
this is really nice.
Yeah,
it is nice.
Yeah, it's free. You know, I'm always out here. I always feel like I'm out here selling a free product because that's what amazes me is this incredibly elegant thing that lowers, not only does it, especially in the schools, it dramatically lowers suspensions and detentions and truancy, and then it increases grades 10 to 25%, and it costs nothing. And then I really believe in 10 years, because it's starting to spread like wildfire in our area schools, I really believe that in about 10, 12 years, all of our numbers are going to change, meaning that there's going to be lower teenage pregnancies, lower teenage incarcerations, you know, lower arrests for those ages, because we would have taught a generation of kids how to go back regularly, to go back and find this sweet space in the nervous system, which puts on their smarter thinking online, so they will be less likely to do impulsive things.
Do you do private practice? That was the other thing I want to ask you. Suppose somebody says, listen, I'd like to, you know, have you teach me how to do this. I mean, I know I can go with a group, but can you help me, or can you help my child or something? Is that something you do, Bethany?
Yeah, that's where I started, in private practice. So, I do. I do more organizations right now, but absolutely. That's the fun part when you get to work individually with people. I love that, actually. I'm able to see people much deeper in that kind of situation.
Yeah, so how would they find you for that? Should they go back to the Albany Peace Project also, or Numinous?
Yep, that's the same. Yep, that would be the same contact. But, you know, I would say this work is, it takes, what was I just attending yesterday? Yeah, they're saying that for sleep and everything. You know, this stuff is this work works if you work it. If you don't work it, it's not going to work. But if you work it, I can absolutely guarantee you it will help. So understand that people, you know, this is not a quick fix. This is about you training yourself over time. And so, you know, that's why in the schools we have kids recalibrate. I call it recalibrating 3 times a day. 3 times a day they take their mind and anchor it down in their body and to find this sweet space. And over time they get better and better and faster at it. So understand that, you know, this is something that it would be a lifestyle shift. And people would be practicing how to go into these. It's like playing an instrument or playing a sport. Initially, you may not feel so confident, but over time, you start to know your craft.
Well, I think we've just. Do you have anything you want to add to this, Cynthia? I think we've just about run out of time here.
No, I have nothing to add. But Bethany, I think what you said is absolutely phenomenal, and I hope phenomenal. And I hope you will stay in touch with me, stay in touch with Liz, because what you're doing can have such great impact, not only on Albany, but on cities throughout the country. Thank you.
Thank you both for having me and reaching out. I very much appreciate this opportunity to be able to reach more people, because it's a message that is on my heart to share with as many people as possible. Thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you so much, Bethany. Again, this is Bethany Gagné from the director of Numinous, the sponsor of the Albany Peace Project. And again, she is starting to set up another training program for people who want to be trained on meditation. And I've signed up for the program because I think this is a perfect program for businesses. Thank you again.
Thank you, ladies. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and if you have a comment or a question about this program, you could go on #FocusOnAlbany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Bethany and Liz, thank you so much on this Saturday morning for taking the time to talk about this wonderful program. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.